Welcome to episode 171 of Practical Defense, Soft Targets. Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I'm your host, Alex Addicks. Boy, this week has been incredible in terms of email. Each and every day, I receive several emails that could fill an entire show. It was a hard choice, but this week, I'm going to share an email from Michael, who also goes by Monkey on the GRRN forums. Michael shares with us his recent experience with a criminal who stole items from his car and then turned around and tried to enter his home at 3:30 in the morning. We'll analyze what made him a soft target and what made him a hard target. I'll try to get to the other emails in the coming weeks. Alrighty, we'll be back with Michael's email.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro Second Amendment, pro gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
Welcome back. So, Michael writes, "Hey Alex, I just read a tweet of yours that was posted on 21st of April about keeping valuables in your car hidden, out of sight. I wish you would have posted that earlier because the morning of April 21st, about 3:30 a.m., my car was broken into. My GPS was stolen as well as a phone charger and 96 cents in change. They, however, did not take my ASP, nor my $200 sunglasses, or any of the other valuable items I had laying out buffet-style for them. The main problem in all this was my own laziness. The battery had died on my keyless entry, and I hadn't replaced it. Long story short, I hadn't locked my car and was just asking for it to be broken into. So my question is, other than locking my car, how can I deter criminals from choosing me as a target? I've already stopped parking on the street, and I'm locking my car religiously. This should help a lot, but I still have valuables inside that would be just too much of a pain to take out and put back every day. Any advice? Also, the situation could have been worse. I was still awake around 3 a.m., and someone, I assume the same person or people, tried to open my front door. I think they were deterred mainly by the dog viciously barking and growling, and secondly, by the fact that the front door was locked. Just thought I might share." Well, actually, thanks for sharing, Michael. I'm sorry that my Twitter posting was about 12 hours too late. It was something I had actually shared in the past, but felt it was worth repeating. You know, last year, my wife had a similar experience, only her car was parked in our driveway. It wasn't even on the street. She accidentally left her doors unlocked, and someone went into her car, sat in it for some time, and looted everything of value from it. Well, actually, I say accidentally for the sake of my marriage, since she really wasn't in the habit of locking it regularly anyway. Fortunately, she doesn't listen to the show. The big item stolen was her work laptop, which was not even exposed. It was in a bag, not even a laptop bag, just a nondescript carry-all, behind the seat and under some other items. The crook had to dig through her stuff in order to find it. If you want to go back and listen to the episode, it was number 111 and posted on January 23 of 2010. So to answer your first question about not being selected as a target, the best answer is to keep anything of value out of sight. That means iPods, wallets, GPS units, change, even iPod connection cables. The reason for the cables is that if the crook sees the cables, he might assume that the iPod is still in there, just out of sight in the center console or the glove box. It costs him nothing to check, just to be certain. He can be in and gone in just a few seconds. Your smashed window $500 price tag means nothing to him, and he might even score several hundred dollars worth of electronics. To him, there's no downside. When I was in high school and even college, I knew of guys who would walk around the school parking lots and check doors on parked cars. If the person left his or her car unlocked, that poor sod lost a parking decal worth over $100. They would just open the door, yank the decal off the rearview mirror, and be on their way. It took less than a couple of seconds. So if there's nothing of immediate valuable visible and the doors are locked, then it reduces your chance of a break-in. If you leave the valuable in plain sight, you're just asking for trouble, and it will eventually happen again. Plus, if you leave the items out and in plain sight, but your doors are locked, you're asking for your window to be smashed in addition to the loss of the items. That'll set you back a few $100 more in repairs. A good friend of mine had his doors locked, but left some of the valuables out in plain view. This cost him several $1,000s. Now, in his case, he had a convertible with a soft top. The criminal just used a knife to cut through the soft top, pop it back, and stole his goodies. Now, a side note, if you don't think every criminal and transient on the street doesn't have a weapon like a knife or a shiv, you are freaking kidding yourself. Okay, back to the subject. Like you, the crook left his sunglasses that were worth $350 and just took the electronics. A criminal values items differently than we do. They look for items they can sell for good money quickly. Today, that means electronics and jewelry. Cash goes right into their pockets, which includes the 96 cents in change that you had. So to answer any follow-up questions that people might have, yes, there are criminals who prowl nice neighborhoods in the middle of the night checking car doors, homes, and businesses. I have personally witnessed it. When I was a teenager and hanging out way too late at night, I would watch the transients, which is a nice term for homeless or street person. They would walk down the boulevard at night and check the front doors of every business they passed. If I could witness this on the front door, you can bet good money there were many others checking the back doors. I get police reports all the time from my neighborhood, and almost every night there are reports of theft from motor vehicles where the person just left the doors unlocked. Every day. And those are the ones that got reported. Now, for example, if my wife hadn't had her work laptop stolen and needed an official police report to file with her employer, she probably wouldn't have reported it to the police at all. Now let's move on to the door incident. You are correct. It was probably the same person who stole from your car. Here's the thought process of the criminal. If you're forgetful or lazy enough not to lock your car door, you might also be forgetful or lazy enough not to lock your home doors or windows. If your front door hadn't been locked, he probably would have walked right into your home and grabbed what he could from the first few rooms. So it was good that you did lock your door. What is also good is that you had a barking dog. If it wasn't for the dog, even if the front door was locked, he might have checked your windows and other doors as well. The combination of the dog and a locked door was probably enough to make the home not worth the effort. In a really early episode, almost 3 years ago at this point, I told a story about a friend of mine who used to leave his garage unlocked. He converted his garage into an office, complete with a sliding glass door entrance instead of a car door. His office area was behind the standard wooden gate, which was also unlocked, but it was shut. Well, one night he was burglarized. Someone came in through his back gate, tested the door to his office, and found it unlocked. He lost all of his computer gear. The crook then tried the back door to his home. Well, his wife had forgotten to lock it that one night, and the first few rooms in the back of their house were also looted. They lost wallets and cell phones from the kitchen area. In the dark, the crook didn't see the black camera bag with thousands of dollars of camera gear in it. Here's the kicker. The back room that was looted was 15 feet away from his children's room. At the time, both of his girls were less than 4 years old. So if you're a soft target in one area, you might be a soft target in another. So the crook will try again and see if he gets lucky a second time. The odds are in his favor. Fortunately for you, Michael, you were only soft in one place, your car. It was good that you kept your home locked up and that you had a good biological alarm. That made you a harder target and the criminal moved on. So to answer your final question, you need to move your valuables out of sight before you leave your car every time. If you don't, you're asking for more trouble and you will have your stuff stolen again. I'll leave you with this final thought. There is a good chance the criminal will be back. You are now listed in his mind as a soft target. You're also listed as having nice things. So what the criminal will do is wait a few weeks and return to strike again. Why? They wait for you to replace the lost items and then try to take them again. This happens with car burglaries and home burglaries. It's common for people to get hit twice by the same person or group. So even if it's a pain in the butt, keep your stuff out of sight or you're inviting another theft, locked doors or not.
When every moment matters and a life is saved, when someone gives blood, when a hand reaches out, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Down the street, across the country, around the world, you help save the day. Every day. Your support truly matters. You can help today. Visit redcross.org.
Welcome back. So, in summary, we have criminals steal what they can sell quickly and easily. This means electronics and jewelry. Cash is a pure bonus. Criminals will wander neighborhoods trying car doors, home doors, and doors to businesses. This includes quote-unquote nice neighborhoods, because that is where the nice things are. Criminals will smash your car window for the change on your dashboard. Your repair costs mean nothing to them. Keep all of your valuables out of sight. This means the actual devices and any connection cables. If you're a soft target in one area, the criminal will test to see if you're a soft target in other areas as well. Lock all of your doors and windows. This means front, side, and back. Criminals will often return to a place they have burglarized for a second round. They check back in a few weeks to see if they can also steal the replacement items. And that will do it for this week. You can follow my daily tips on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, I'm Practical Def, and Facebook is Practical Defense. Also, for those of you with a mobile phone app for the show, from now on, I will include a PDF of the summary and the show notes in the feed. You'll be able to find it in the bonus content section. If you have any tips you would like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexaddicts.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe. Practical Defense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexaddicts.com. That's podcast@alexaddicts.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexaddicts.com.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.